today, we'll talk about souvenir shopping on your Disney World trip. That's coming up on this episode 56 of WW Prep to Go. Hello and welcome to WDW Prep to Go, where we talk strategy and ideas for people planning their Disney World trips. I am your host, Shannon Albert from WDWPrepSchool.com. Thank you so much for being here for episode 56. We're going to talk about souvenir shopping and where and how and when and all that kind of stuff. I know that when you're budgeting your trips, a lot of times you've got different expense buckets. You've got plane tickets, hotel, dining, park tickets, and then there's the wild card of souvenir shopping. So I'm going to talk about that today. And before we dive in, as always, I want to remind you about social media because I'm very active, especially on Facebook and Twitter. And so you can find me facebook.com/WWPrepSchool. Same for Twitter, twitter.com/WWPrepSchool. And I also wanted to talk about how to subscribe to the podcast because I know that people are listening in different ways and in different locations. If you're on the website listening to this, you should know. I've had people say to me, I don't like your podcast because I have to sit in front of my computer and hit play and listen. And that really misses the point of a podcast. The point of a podcast is that it's portable. And so if you are accustomed to just listening on the website, I would suggest that you look at subscribing. If you have iTunes, you can subscribe through iTunes. And if you don't, you can download the Stitcher app, and the podcasts are always in the Stitcher app as well. So I invite you to take me with you. That's why it's called WW Prep to Go, because you're on your way. You're not on the website necessarily. So don't get stuck to your computer. Go on a walk, plug me in and listen on your drives while you work, etc. So that is hopefully helpful to people that aren't used to listening to podcasts. And if you have any questions about how podcasts work, because this is actually a thing that a lot of people are new to podcasts. They've never done it before, and maybe this is their first one. If you have any questions about how it works, feel free to email me, Shannon@WWPrepSchool.com, and I will help you with that. Because I'm an avid listener and of lots of podcasts, and I have for years, but I recognize that not everybody is into it like that. And so go ahead and email me if you have questions about how it works, and I'll help you get set up. So I want to talk today about souvenir shopping. And at the end of the episode, make sure you stay tuned for my quick tip of the day, because I think it's a pretty good one that has helped some people lately. But souvenir shopping is one of these weird topics that I often get questions like, how much should I budget for souvenir shopping? And I never know what to say to that because it's so variable. It's like when people go to Las Vegas and say, how much should I budget for gambling? Well, I don't budget that much. I mean, we are not big gamblers. We might do $50 a day, but other people take thousands of dollars, and neither one's right or wrong. It's just up to your individual interest. So with souvenir shopping, I don't know what to tell you. You're going to have to decide that for yourself. Our family is not big into souvenir shopping. We just don't. And our kids don't ask for stuff that much. And maybe that's a sign that they're spoiled and they don't need anything. I don't know. This is just not a big thing for us. But this is something you're going to have to decide, you know, set some limits or budgets or daily amounts or whatever it is for you. If you are a family that plans to do a lot of souvenir shopping, I would recommend that you take a collapsible bag in your luggage, like a duffel bag, so that on the way to Disney World, you can just put that in your luggage. And on the way back, you can take it out and put as much stuff in it as you can fit. And you won't end up struggling to find space for your stuff. But, you know, that's if you like to shop, plan ahead for that. Now, in terms of budget, there are some different topics I want to discuss. There's a few ways to get discounts when you are buying souvenirs. One way is that some receipts at Disney World from restaurants, for instance, will have a discount code at the bottom. So if you plan on shopping and want to save some money, a lot of times there's a 20% discount at the bottom of quick service restaurant receipts. If you are a Disney Visa card holder, you can save some money there. I can't remember what the percentage is off the top of my head, but if you are a Disney Visa card holder, I will include a link in the show notes to where the benefits of the card are listed, and you can look that up. And then Finally, gift cards are, it's obvious that you can buy gift cards. Like you can get them at the grocery store, at Target, whatever, and, you know, give them to your children beforehand and tell them that that's how much money they have to spend. But you can also ask for gift cards before your trip. So if you're planning your trip way ahead and there's several holidays that occur during your planning process, if people ask you, what do you want for Christmas or what do you want me to get your daughter for birthday? You can start asking for gift cards so that your souvenir expenses and some of your other expenses are taken care of. So I would just encourage you to think about stockpiling gift cards so that the souvenir shopping isn't such a burden and it's sort of prepaid. Now, let's talk about how to approach shopping when you have children. Now, I mentioned mine are not really into it. And I think that one of the reasons is that we have often done things ahead of time that sort of take away that need for them to want to look for stuff. And one of those is that Tinkerbell visited us in our rooms when my children were younger. We had Tinkerbell visits, and I will link to that in the show notes because I won't discuss that in detail here. But that meant that we had gifts in our room every day, and so the kids sort of didn't care about looking for things in the shops because they'd already gotten, you know, a beach towel or glow sticks or whatever from Tinkerbell. The other reason is that we did an in-room celebration on our last big family trip. And when you order the in-room celebrations, yes, they are expensive. They are hundreds of dollars, but they include so much stuff that it's more than we would even ever buy typically. So we had picture frames delivered and we had plush animals and snacks and autograph books and hidden Mickey books. And it's just, there was a million things that were included. So after that, my kids didn't even use their gift cards because they just didn't have anything else left they wanted to. So you can take preventative measures to, you know, to satisfy their appetite if you think this is going to be an issue. But you could still do all that and, you know, people will still want to shop. So we'll get into that in a little bit. But I just wanted to kind of mention that because I think that's one reason our kids don't ask for stuff is that a lot of the things have been brought to them. Let's talk first about where to shop. There are, you know, predictably shops everywhere because Disney wants to get you to spend money. And I'm going to tell you, if you have a Magic Band, it is all too easy to spend money. It's like my husband hates when I play digital casino games because he says I treat it like it's a video game and it's real money. And I feel the same way about iTunes. You know, when I buy an app or music, it doesn't feel real because it's all digital. Magic bands are very similar and then it doesn't feel real until the end when you get that bill. But shopping's very simple. Magic bands can be used everywhere on site if you are an on-site guest. Now, there are shops at the hotels. There are shops in all the theme parks, huge, huge shops, and also in Downtown Disney. Downtown Disney is currently transforming into Disney Springs. And as part of that, they're bringing in some new shops or some interesting shops. And that, if you wanted to do a heavy shopping, that's probably a great place to go because not only are they're new and interesting shops, but there are old and huge ones like the World of Disney, which is a store that if I were a person with a prescription for Xanax, I would have to take it to go in. It's so big. It is one of the biggest things or biggest stores I've ever been in. And there's also Once Upon a Toy, which is also another great store. But there are lots of stores, little boutiques, interesting places to shop in Downtown Disney. The exit area of most rides are gift shops. So that's another thing to sort of prepare your children for is that when you leave a ride, you're going to be hit with all these opportunities to shop. And so, you know, you might be okay with them looking. You might tell them, sorry, we're not going to stop because we, you know, don't want to spend money or time doing that. You know, whatever. I'm just telling you ahead of time to be prepared because Disney's going to take every opportunity they can to capture your attention and get you to buy stuff. Some of the shops are very interesting. And for instance, my daughter is an Aerosmith fan. And so when we exited Rock and Roller Coaster, she said, can we please take some time to shop? And we did. And she got a couple of cute shirts one of which she wore to the concert when we went recently. So anyway, some of the shops are good, but with little children, you may want to prepare them ahead of time so they don't get distracted by every shiny thing in their way. Now, these shops will have lots of different kinds of things in them. One, there's typical souvenirs that you can definitely expect. Things like shirts and hats and picture frames and, you know, very touristy type things. And then there are some unique offerings. So I'm going to talk about these two categories sort of separately. First is the typical souvenirs. Now, I'm more of a fan of unique souvenirs, the next category that we'll talk about, but it's hard to resist some of the typical souvenirs like shirts or hats or picture frames, because they are colorful and bright, and that is sort of what reminds you of your trip. But in order to make some of these things last longer, I would suggest that if you want to go ahead and buy the typical things, that you might want to think long term, and after the shirts have been worn by you or outgrown by your child, you could keep them as a keepsake by using a staple gun and putting them on a canvas. So you would center it on a canvas so that the shirt graphic is centered on the canvas, staple it, and then, you know, hang it up. That way it gets long-term use and it doesn't become a souvenir that is useless within a year or so. I like the picture frames because I always try to look for the ones that have Disney World written on them with the year. And then I find a family photo and put it with it. And then that's something that's good forever. And I still like looking at the one from 2005, you know, the kids were little, and the fact that the year is written on it, you know, reminds me of when the trip was and all that kind of stuff. So I think these kind of things can be found everywhere. So if you see the sort of typical items, then if you see it in one store, you're going to see it in all of them, and there'll be plenty of opportunities to buy those. However, the next category, which is unique souvenirs, these are things that are offered only in, you know, certain spots. And if you see them, I recommend buying them, because I think one thing that parents do, particularly parents with children, is they say, okay, once you see something, then you need to remember at the end of our trip what it is that you wanted so you can go back and get it. And I've done this myself, but it, you know, it works better when you have an empty day. Your final day is empty and unplanned ahead of time so that you can include souvenir shopping if you want. But if your days are all planned and you're not going to be able to get back, you might want to buy it as soon as you see it. So I'm going to go through some of these unique things that are available. And I'm just going to tell you, if you see something unique, that you should probably snag it because you may not see it again. So one of the things that I like is personalized Disney ornaments. And we have the friends that we're actually going on a trip with next month. They have an entire Christmas tree full of ornaments from their travels. This is something I regret not doing. We have traveled many, many places, not just Disney World. And it's wonderful to go to their house during the holidays because it's just, you know, fantastic to look at what part of the world their ornaments have come from. So Disney World, I assume that they will probably do this with Disney World as well, is you can go to the Christmas shop at Magic Kingdom, where you can go to the Christmas shop in Downtown Disney, and you can pick out ornaments, and you can optionally have them personalized if you would like. And just in case it takes a while, I would recommend doing it earlier in your trip because you just don't know the turnaround time on that sort of thing. So that's one idea. Another idea for a unique souvenir is the pick-a-pearl, which is available for sure in the Japan section of Epcot. And people have told me they've done it in other places, but I am not sure if that is still available. But in the department store in the Japan section of Epcot, the people that work at the pick-a-pearl counter, I don't think there's anyone more enthusiastic than they are. And that is saying something, because cast members are notoriously enthusiastic, but these are on another level. So they just make a whole big ceremony out of it. And you get to pick an oyster from the tank, and then the cast member cuts it open. And inside, you will see if you got one or two pearls, and they will measure it and tell you the size. And then they put it into a baggie for you. I believe it is $15 for the oyster or the pearl. And one tip on this is to pick the hairiest, ugliest oyster you can, because those seem to, for some reason, have the better chance of having two pearls inside. Ideally, you're going to want to do something with a pearl. And I would suggest just getting it, the setting separate. Like a lot of people buy a setting to put it in on Etsy or something like that. But they have options right there in the store as well. And that is at the Japan section of Epcot. Another option is Mr. Potato Head Parts. So there, what the idea is that you can pay for a container, and they have a couple of sizes of containers, and you stuff it with as many Mr. Potato Head parts as you can, and those are yours to take home. And this is at the Once Upon a Toy store in Downtown Disney. So there are some tips for this, because you want to maximize your space. If you're going to pay $20 or $50 for these containers, then you want to make the most. So the first tip is to buy, do not buy the Mr. Potato Head there. You can buy a Mr. Potato Head at Walmart if you want. So you will want to get things that are unique to Disney World, and then get the generic things somewhere else. So you can also ask the cast members to help you, and you can put things inside of other things and really maximize your space. But that's at Once Upon a Toy in Downtown Disney. There are other places that you can stuff containers with parts that are similar. There's a fill your own Lego cup at the Lego store in Downtown Disney. There's a pirate treasure chest at the World of Disney store, and there's a jewelry box in the World of Disney store. So there's a few of these different options, but the Mr. Potato Head one tends to be the most popular. So that's another idea. Another idea is this is available in a couple of spots. One is near Pirates of the Caribbean at Magic Kingdom, and the other is the Mexico section of Epcot. And they're these carved rings that they will do right there at their kiosk. And you can choose between gold or silver, and they have different things. Like if you're a guitar player, maybe you pick one that has a guitar on it. You can do different letters, initials, etc. And every single trip, I see these people out. So I think they're fairly easy for you to spot. But that's another good idea. And while we're sort of talking about the World Showcase, the World Showcase, by the way, is a treasure trove of unique offerings. So that's, if you want to focus some time on souvenirs, that's another good place to go. So the China section of Epcot has personalized Chinese parasols, and my daughter has one of these, and they're pretty parasols. And then they, in Chinese characters, will write your name on it, and they're only $10 to $14. They're very pretty. And then in the Germany section of Epcot, there are etched glass items, and it's a kiosk that's on the water there in the Germany section, and they will etch the glass different items such as beer steins and things like that. At Hollywood Studios, the exit area to Star Tours has a build your droid section, and this is actually there, you can actually do this at the Once Upon a Toy location, I think, in Downtown Disney as well. But basically, they have just all these different parts that are unique to Disney World. Like, you can, first of all, build your own Star Wars droid, but then you can put Mickey ears on it and things like that. So it's really cute, and it's specific to Disney World. So it's a good thing to take advantage of while you're there. And what else do we have? Monogram Mickey ears. I guess that could fall into the category of typical and touristy, but they're really cute. And if you saw the episode of Malcolm in the Middle where they went to Disney World, this was featured heavily because the son in the family is obsessed with fonts, and they give you a few different font choices, and he was obsessing about it. And I totally related to that, because I'm also obsessed with fonts, which is one of my favorite parts of my job, is that I get to design graphics using lots of different fonts and have fun with typography. But you can go to the Chapeau on Main Street in the Magic Kingdom, and you can, I think you can go to Mouse Gear at Epcot as well, and you just pick out your ears, and then they will monogram it. I do recommend going earlier in the day just to make sure they can complete your monogram. If they're not busy, then there's a good chance that the afternoon evening will be fine as well, but just to be safe, earlier in the day would be a good idea. And I believe those run $14 and up for those. Another sweet idea that I love is that you can have silhouettes created. And this actually doesn't take very long, but like, for instance, a very popular way to do this is to have a child sit down, and the silhouette artist will draw them, and they will often do it with another character, so you can have your daughter with Mickey Mouse. And what's great about it to me is that it captures a moment in time, like a photo does. But if you have these done every trip over the years, you can sort of see the child grow and the silhouettes change over the years. These are available in a lot of places, and it's about $9 each. If you want to get it framed, it costs a little bit more than that. But there are locations in downtown Disney. There is a location in France, in the France section of Epcot. The Magic Kingdom on Main Street, and Liberty Square at Magic Kingdom. So there's a few different spots you can do it. Only $9, sort of a sweet memento of your vacation. You can also get cookbooks if you would like to take the Disney cookbooks home and make some things that you've had while you're there on your trip. And I should have mentioned this when I was talking about the World Showcase, because this is what it's all about. But you can get passports at Epcot, and they look like real passports, but they're specific for the countries at Epcot. And you get them in the gift shop and then take them around to all the different countries. And the people that are in each of the countries, there's a specific desk that they are in charge of, and they will stamp your passport and sign a message in their native language. And so I really like the ones that are available at Epcot. A lot of people make their own at home. They will make passports and then take it and have it signed there. But it's really nice. It's one of my favorite souvenirs that we've had, because my daughter has a real passport and the Epcot passport, which I love. So anyway, I hope that gives you some ideas of lots of different things that are available. I kind of think that having typical souvenirs and unique ones is a great combo. It's sort of like, you know, people get snobby about travel and they say, oh, you did all that touristy stuff. And, you know, if you don't want to go to Paris and not go and see the Eiffel Tower, right? But you also might want to get off the beaten track and do other things. So to me, it's always about combining the different views. And I like typical souvenirs and I like some unique ones. So just mix it up, do a little bit of each. I do have a post where I talk about unique souvenirs, including some of the ones I've mentioned and more than what I've mentioned. And that will be in the show notes to give you more ideas about where to find them, the prices, and all that kind of stuff. Plus some links about, you know, different options that are available on each one. So look for that in the show notes. Now I do have I can't launch into my quick tip of the day, because I wanted to talk about sending packages back to your room or to the front of the park. Okay, so let's talk about that real quick. So as you're out shopping in the parks, you might not want to hold the stuff that you've purchased, because you have to not only carry them, but then you're going on rides and, you know, you don't want to have to put your bags down all the time. But so anybody can send a package to the front of the park. It doesn't matter if you're on site or off site, you send it to the front, but you do need a 3-hour window, because they will not guarantee it'll get there within 1 or 2 hours. So if you've got at least 3 hours left in your day, go ahead and tell the person when you buy your item in the park that you'd like to send it to the front. And then at the end of the day, you can get it on your way out. You can also, when you purchase things, ask the clerk to ship it. And there are different rates for that. And I believe that international shipping is available, and they will package it and ship it for you. You can also send packages to your room. And really, saying that it's sent to your room is a little bit of a misnomer, because what they actually do is send packages to your hotel. For instance, they might send it to the gift shop that's at your hotel, and then you will have a ticket that they give you to go claim it. This, however, does take a while, and it's often not available till the next day at 3:00. So you at least have to have a couple days warning to be able to do that. So I'm glad to slip that information into this episode, because I know if you're big shoppers, you might not want to hold that stuff all day. Okay, now the quick tip of the day. Okay, so my quick tip of the day is that a lot of people get stressed out about the making dining reservations and making Fastpass Plus reservations, because they're not familiar with the website or the app until it's time to actually do it when it matters. And so my tip is that most people can practice these things ahead of time. Now, dining reservations are easy to practice, because anybody can make a dining reservation. It doesn't matter if you have a hotel reservation. It doesn't matter if you have park tickets. It doesn't matter. Anybody can make a dining reservation. So practice to your heart's content. Go on the website, book that dining reservation, and then when it's done and you're done practicing, make sure you cancel it. So that one's pretty easy. Practicing Fastpass Plus is a little bit more tricky, because it won't work if you've booked a package because you cannot make FastPass Plus reservations when you've had a package until 60 days beforehand when the website magically opens up and you get to book. However, if you have your tickets purchased separately and you link them in your My Disney Experience account, you can practice anytime getting FastPass Pluses anytime within the next 30 days. And this will not affect your trip. It's totally fine. You just basically having those linked tickets tells Disney, oh, they have purchased it. They're obviously intending to come. So we're going to let them make FastPass Plus reservations. So go ahead and practice making FastPass Plus reservations if you want. But then, of course, afterwards, you will want to go in and cancel them. But this will help you to get more familiar with the system before the day that you really need to make them and have to get serious about it. So I hope that information is helpful. I think that's going to wrap up this episode of WW Prep to Go. For more information on this show, you can visit wwprepschool.com/episode56. That is the number 56. Or as always, you can look in the show description if you're using an app. Until next time, I will see you on the site.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.